Well, you know, with the additions that we had, obviously had some needs that we wanted to get stronger and add competition, and we felt like we did that. So bringing on a free safety, a corner, you know, a three technique, you know, adding those types of players into our, we talk about having some very good players and then adding very good players to that group. We felt like we did that.
Did Deshaun do what you need at that position?
I think his greatest trait, that what we saw, is his ability, you know, he's more of a ball hawk. And that's what we were looking for, guys that can get the ball. And, you know, he's shown that with, what, 14 interceptions or something over 3 years. So, you know, more of a ball hawk type free safety.
What do you like about
Amukamara? Yeah, you know what, just his size. He plays with really good length on the line of scrimmage. And extremely competitive. And, you know, in our conversations and watching film with him, you know, I just thought, like, he really fit our style. And he's come in a highly competitive situation.
Was the injury, his injury history shy you away at all?
No, I think as when we talked about it, it was different types of injuries, you know. So, you know, I know we had conversation about it, but nothing that, you know, made us weary of him.
Is it sometimes hard to evaluate a player like that in free agency because he's, you know, he hasn't been on the field 16 games, Joe, just the one
right.
season?
Right. I think that you go back and you look at your evaluations when he came out, and then, you know, you watch him over his career, and some of the cut-ups that we get are very specific, you know, at the line of scrimmage, when he plays off, you know, different tackling, you know, so you look at cut-ups like that, and, you know, you go back and look at a game, too, and then, you know, the scouts and Dave will look at his injury history.
What is his role?
You know what, with Kiff, I just felt like when he came in and I asked him just to sit in on some of the interviews. And then after that, I just said, let's just take it day by day. And once you sit in with the defensive meetings, you know, with us, we were all in there. And as we go through cut-ups and just add insight, you know, tell us what you see. And, you know, maybe it's when we're all done and evaluation and give some insight. And I thought he did a great job. And I saw Todd talk to him, the DB coaches talk to him, D-line, you know, the linebackers. You know, everybody was kind of bending his ear. So I think that just his experience, his expertise, you know, added a lot. So we just came to the conclusion to, you know, to eventually pay him for what he's been doing.
Did he do any on-field stuff then, or a little bit of on-field
stuff? Yeah, he'll be on the field, but that part, you know, we haven't discussed yet.
Will people see his influence in the scheme?
No, not really. I think, you know, he's coached a lot of different schemes, and our scheme, he's got great awareness of it. I think it was a smooth transition for him. And, you know, so he just brings up some good points, some good challenging points. And, you know, because of him, you know, I've already seen, you know, the questions that we've asked. You know, we've seen some things get better with our scheme.
People see Kiff and they think you're going to Tampa too.
No, yeah. Not that much influence.
Speaking of that scheme, you know, you don't want to close the door on it, but it's not as prevalent as it used to be.
No, but, you know, you see teams that will play cover two and play aspects of it. And, you know, so many times now when you look at tape and defensive coaches and defensive schemes, you do see single safety middle because everybody's intent is to stop the run. But you have to have some split safety. And, you know, so some people will play quarters. That's what their background is, like a Mike Smith. And then there's others that will play the Tampa two.
How much does Gibson allow you to do what ideally you'd want to do at safety?
Well, he's got, you know what, our thought was to have guys like Cyprian and Sample down close to the box, you know, and get them in the box a higher percentage of the time. And with that, you know, a guy like Gibson, you know, can play back and play his middle third and go red line to red line and be an open field tackle in the middle third. So, you know, those traits. Now, he also played down quite a bit as well. And on occasion, you may see him do that. But I think his traits, his ability to be a ball hawk, those traits best fit him back there as our single safety.
How do you see strong safety? Is Sip still the guy? Is Sample?
Well, you know, we try to make our team as competitive as possible, bringing in guys. And, you know, that's ideal for a team. So, yeah, but I think as we went back and looked at cut-ups, and we were talking about getting Jonathan down in the box more. That's where we saw when he was at his best.
Do you think Gibson can really help him just be able to do that?
Yes, I think it gives us more flexibility to do that.
How about be a better evaluation of where he is developmental-wise this year than maybe the other last couple of years?
With Sip?
Yeah.
You know, I think we kind of divide it. We took a look and we just talked about him when he was down close to the line of scrimmage and when he was back. and where did he play, you know, better, and where was he more consistent? We just felt like, you know, down in the box allowed him to utilize his skill set.
Dustin, Sample push him a little bit? Or do you know what he had?
We've seen flashes of Sample. You know, we've seen some things with his instincts. He's a very good football player, so I think with him it's another chance. In similar ways, it's like Dante. You get another draft pick that's coming in that hasn't had a chance to play much, you get a chance to see him as well.
How much do you think Colvin will benefit from just playing outside?
Well, I mean, he'll compete too on the outside too, but I think for him, we talked about what to do. Do we move him to the outside? But he had so much production on the inside. Not only as a cover guy, you know, we can play man, zone, his ability to pressure. So, I think that's a good fit for him.
Talk about the patience, Gus, that the franchise has shown to you. Here I'm coming from Tampa. They've made two changes,
sure,
2 years each, the last two. It's kind of refreshing for you, isn't it?
Right. I'm sure if you talked to Shad, I don't know if he would say it's patience. I think he just feels like this is the way we're going to do it. And this is the way we took a big undertaking, and we've all been on the same page since the day started. And I think it's been tremendous support. But he's also a guy that has, and Dave, tremendous expectations. And as we build this and get these players in here, and, you know, that's part of it. But I think we felt those expectations from day one, but we've been really strict to stay true to the plan.
Obviously, he sees progress, though.
Obviously. Yeah. Yep.
Gus, how much better are you guys on paper now with the moves you made? I mean, I know you don't know until you get on the field, but
sure.
I mean, how comfortable do you feel that you made big strides already?
Well, I think it just, you know, I think one of the things in free agency, you're looking to have flexibility in the draft. And I think it allowed us to do that. You'd like to go into the draft saying we can take truly best available, you know, the player that's best at the when we pick. And I think that's what the free agency has done for us. So we have some needs still. We have some areas that we'd like to concentrate on, but it's allowed us that.
When you look at the Malik move, especially everybody's talking about getting Senderic back on the field, but it's a similar position. Is it a good issue to have in terms of how you're going to work?
I think it's a good issue. It's a great challenge for us as coaches. But we have a plan. We have an idea. See how far Senderic comes along. We expect him to make a 100% recovery and get his chance to play and compete. But, I think for us, we're not going to have, we're not going to have real good players standing on the sidelines next to us. We got to get them on the field. So that's the challenge for us, is make sure we find ways to get those guys both on the field at the same time.
How confident are you that Marks can return to his 2014 form?
Well, I'm very confident. He showed that. You know, we saw flashes when he did come back. So he's in there rehabbing now. And, so we expect him to come back 100%.
How's Bowler progressing?
Yeah, he's doing a good job. Same thing. I think he's at the point where we're seeing that light. You know, it's, and for him, OTAs and phase one and phase two can't come fast enough. So, yeah, he's doing a nice job. We'll be smart with him, bring him along slowly, make sure that he is 100%. But all signs are arrows up for him.
Follow up on Fowler. Dave said maybe you could line him up inside on some third downs. Is that something you want to start right away? Will you add that later once he's coming?
I think as we get a feel for everybody, but definitely something that he's done. We've seen him do that, so we're very open. And again, if that gives us the flexibility of get the guys we want on the field, then that's something that we'll look at.
How challenging was the process for Fowler, this whole rehab process? Did you ever have to talk to him? How often did you talk to him in the process?
Yeah, we've had multiple conversations. It's hard. You know, a guy as competitive as he is, wants to play, and, if you talk about what's important in your life, football ranks up there as one of the top things. So for him to have to sit out is very challenging. But like I said, I think this last month and a half has been much better for him.
Hey guys, looking at Devon Hollis really quick, what did you think of the season for you? Why do you think he fits so well with what you guys do?
Well, he's a guy that we talk about that has the length. He had over 20 PBUs, so, we haven't had a guy that's done that for years. So, I think those types of traits, has good ball awareness, good ball skills, and the ability to make plays. So, we felt so confident that we traveled with them, as far as, if we faced a team that had a good receiver. So, very pleased. And I think right now, just saw him the other day, he came back, and it looks like he's even stronger than he was. So,
when you look at him, he only had like one or two picks before he came to you guys. Did you see the turnover generation kind of ability?
Well, we knew he was going to have his opportunities in our scheme. So, again, it goes back to your style of play. We play a lot of single safety middle, so teams are going to take chances. You know, they're going to throw balls up and try to get win those one-on-ones. So we knew he'd have the opportunity, and just his ball skills and his length, we thought, you know, that it would be in our favor on a lot of those.
What do you like about
Ivory? His toughness. I think he's a very violent, violent runner. I know when we were preparing for him, we played the Jets. Also, just the history when he was with the Saints and what he brings to the table. I think that he's a style of runner that our team needs, and I think our team will feed off him.
What does he compliment TJ?
It's a good compliment. I think, you know, nowadays, you know, ideal is to have two backs. And I think, you know, there's a game last year where TJ played over 70 snaps. And we just felt like if we can change that up a little bit and give defenses to a different style of runner, I think is always important.
What's Denard's role now?
Well, he'll get in there, too. He's our speed back. And, again, another different style of running back. So you have Ivory, TJ, you know, Denard comes in there. And the style of runs you're going to see are going to be different with him.
Yes, how frustrating was it last year for a defensive coach? And you're in shootouts. You're putting up a tremendous amount of the passing game is fantastic. And you're coming out on the wrong end sometimes. How frustrating
was it? It was. I mean, very challenging. I think there's games we look back at it. We felt like we did some good things defensively. But then in those games where we had a lot of score, a lot of points, we never matched it up with a good defensive performance. So, you know, as we go back and we evaluate, not only do we evaluate players singularly, you know, like a guy like Jonathan Siprin, but also look at the scheme. And we felt like on first and second down, there were some good stats that came back. But third down, we really struggled. And that's the key, you know, not only to get the ball back for your offense, but get off the field. And, you know, we have a lot of work to do on third down. That's why you're starting to see, you know, a safety, the corner spot, the three technique, get some rushers.
Well, Fowler could be a factor in
that's that right. That's right.
With the arrival of Brock Osweiler in Houston, the AFC South, which, you know, there were jokes about the AFC South over the years, but now you got four young, exciting quarterbacks. How do you feel about the division and the turn it could make as a whole?
Well, I've been a part of that, you know, being out at Seattle, you know, where the NFC West was a division that everybody was commenting on, and then it came out to be one of the strongest. So a lot of the same traits, you know, the quarterback situation now, you know, with each team having a guy that they, you know, have a lot of faith in, and then you're starting to see, you know, one side of the ball for each of these teams really pick it up. For us, offensively, Houston, defensively, you know, Tennessee, their defense was doing some good things. So, and Indy, obviously, with a guy like Andrew Luck, their offense. So I think you're going to start to see these teams build complete teams where they have strength on offense and defense. And a team like Houston, strong defensively, now they got a quarterback building that offense with a guy like Lamar Miller and Hopkins on the perimeter. So I think you're going to start seeing this division, you know, really take another step.
After 2 months. Todd's influence on the defense, what do you see if people are going to see different?
Well, he's very detailed, excuse me, very challenging to our defensive staff, but they've, you know, I think, you know, they've all bought into it. They really appreciate what he's all about, respect him a great deal. But, you know, it'll be a different feel in the defensive unit meeting room, different feel on the field. And I think the players understood that when we made the change, that there was going to be some changes.
You talked about when players were acquired this offseason, that maybe the scheme would shift a little bit for the players. That you know, may have to adapt the scheme a little bit to the players acquired.
Sure.
Be flexible.
Yeah, I think so. I think just like what we said with the guys like Sinderic,
right.
You know, and, you know, how do we get guys on the field at the same time? I think that you have a scheme. And that's really important that you have your foundation. But you have to have the flexibility to take the players that you have acquired or that have developed in a team and utilize their skill set. And with that, there might be some subtle changes that you see on the field.
Excited about that?
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's really good. I think it gives us some versatility, and it'll be a different look for our offenses. So we'll see.
I feel like you guys might be putting maybe too much on Dante's shoulders. As a rookie, no experience,
sure.
No veteran.
Yeah, there's a lot of unknowns there. I think for the expectation, we just want to get him back healthy and get him back ready to go. I think get him as many reps as we can, being smart in this offseason, OTAs, mini camp, training camp, and let him just progress, you know, on a flow that we're all comfortable with. But the expectation, you know, you're right, when he's a high-level draft pick like that, that is a big need for us on the edge. You know, I think those two things, combination, can be challenging, you know, to deal with. But, you know, he's a very competitive individual, and he wants to be out there as bad as anybody.
Beauchamp doesn't look the part. Shorter guy at left tackle. How does he make up for that?
Well, I think one thing that stood out to me was his length on film. And then when I got a chance to meet him, too, he does have really good length. And, you know, I think that's the part that really stood out to us. Very athletic, very smooth, very confident. Has a certain mentality playing the position. So I think just his arm length is what, you know, stood out.
Dave, maybe early in camp for him off the knee injury, is will he have enough time to earn a starting spot?
Yeah, I think when he comes in, everything, we're hopeful that sometime in early training camp that he'll get the chance. I think he's faster, progressing faster than they anticipated. So, you know, that's what we're shooting for.
Back to John's question a little bit about the scheme. Is that something you wish you had done more of in terms of catering to some of what these guys can do? Or is it just something you noticed?
Well, I think as you get players that play similar positions and they come into the scheme, then that requires for you to be flexible.
Talk about Bortles, the steps he's taken, that's what he still needs to work on, but how confident you are going forward with a guy like him?
Well, I think he's, you know, we've talked for years about a race to maturity, and I think we're really seeing that take place with him. He's really maturing quickly, doing some very good things. We want to have a quarterback that played with no fear. I think he's developed that trait. He actually brought that in with him, and I think he's added to it. But I think the turnovers, you know, that's a big part that we want to eliminate from our game or as much as possible. Anytime, you know, we can get the ball on defense and take care of the ball on offense, that's a good sign. So, you know,
he's trying to make a play, right, Gus?
Yeah, that's right. And that's why, you know, it's about making good decisions. And we never want to take away that aggressiveness. But, you know, at times there's going to be some interceptions that take place. But try to stay away from the foolish ones, just like penalties. There's penalties and there's foolish penalties. Stay away from the foolish penalties.
Hey, how big is this offseason for him? I mean, a second year in an offense now, he has the whole offseason to get in this playbook.
Well, continuity, I think, is huge. And that's the one thing that we both talked about at the end of the season was the ability to come back in, stay in the system. And, you know, I think the common thing for an offensive coordinator is to say, okay, he understands it, let's add more. Well, that's not what we're going to do. I think that's a big mistake, is to add more to his play. I think it's to stay the course with the offense that we run, find out what he does well, maybe stay to that portion of the offense a little bit more than others, but definitely not looking at adding to it, but just refining it even more.
At what point do you add to it?
Well, when I say add to it, it's, add, 10 different styles of passes and, a different passing game. And, there'll be some different things that you see us do. But overall, stay within that.
With the pass rush, you missed out on Vernon. Are you confident there's enough guys there to put together a consistent?
Well, we got some time. There'll be players in the draft that we look at and teams, in June. We'll always be open to it and looking at it. But I've always said you can never have enough rushers. We've got guys like Dan Scuda, we want to take a stronger look at. Although he's a different style of Leo than maybe we would put down on paper, he does have some pass rush ability, so ability to take a look at him as well.
Him and Dante both play at the same time? And obviously.
Yes, we could play. We could play with two Leos at the same time. Yeah. That goes back to the flexibility. Hey, Gus, you got one Leo. Well, what happens if you have two? Well, we can put that in our scheme. We have the flexibility enough to do it. We can play with two Leos and we'll be fine.
That's not necessarily lightning. That's just a different sort of two.
Yeah, different deal. Our calls might be, we might have five or six calls that we can live in when those guys are on the field at the same time. But I think that type of flexibility is what we want to make sure we protect.
Is Bortles ready to start doing a little more at the line?
Sure. I would say we're just Greg and Blake are on the same page at the line of scrimmage. I think they made great strides at it. So,
and that's something as a quarterback these days you've got to see grow over time.
Sure, and I think that's what he wants as well.
How different are your conversations with Blake, say from year one and two to now, in terms of you talk about the maturity of him?
Sure. Well, it always stems around, leadership, and, he's a big part of this team, obviously, the NFL quarterback. And, so I think his conversations like that, how he handles it, how he has gained the respect of his teammates, and how to stay in that, true vein or that true course where, you know, the guys really, you know, gravitate towards him. But he's done a lot of that on his own. We've had great conversations with it, but I think he kind of understands how we want to go about it, and he feels very comfortable in that role.
What do you think your punter brings that maybe you didn't have with Anger?
Well, you know, just watching him, you know, the reps that we watched and, you know, his punting style, I think he's consistent. He does a nice job inside the 20. So I think he's, you know, very consistent. And, you know, we can count on him in all the situations that we see where it's backed up, putting it down inside the 20. You know, so very consistent.
The margins. You want to see him healthy?
Yeah.
Are you just like, can I please just get a whole healthy offseason?
Yeah, that's what we're hoping for, is for him to come in. I know he's been working out this offseason, coming in here soon. So hopefully he gets a chance to get acclimated to it, and we can see a full Marquise, the whole OTAs and minicamp. Well, you know, I talked to Monty a couple of years ago, and you know how I feel about him. I think that's across the league. I know he went and visited a couple of teams this year and had great conversations with them. So for me, when I got back to where we were going to hire a defensive coordinator, I looked at all the guys that he's hired in his past. You know, the Loveys, the Mike Tomlins. I mean, the list goes on and on. Rod Marinelli. So I thought, well, what better guy to have in the room with me when I'm going through this interview process? So he came over, and after every day we talked, and I just valued his insight. So I told him, I said, you know, why don't you just stay here? You know our scheme and how we're going about doing it, and add some insight. So he sat in the defensive unit meeting rooms, and we would go through it the whole day, and then at night we talked. And I just, for me, and I know Todd Wash felt the same way, we both really valued his insight and his experience. And then it gravitated to really where it spread through the defensive coaches. Younger coaches were coming up and talking to him. And then I saw, like, Greg Olson go and talk to him and get some insight on what he saw on different things. So I just felt like, you know what a great person, first of all, and then just his wealth of experience on our staff would be a great resource.
Look at the AFC South. The Colts started it with the stability of quarterback with Angelo in 2012, but every year, every team in the division has added a quarterback to make it. The importance of having that stability in the AFC South, and how much more competitive the
right
division will be next year?
Well, as a defensive coach, we talk about everybody, how important everybody is to your scheme, but I also understand it's the NFL, and that quarterback position, you got to have a quarterback. So when you start seeing our division pick up guys, you know, whether through free agency or development through draft, and you're starting to see him progress, you know, it just makes that division that much stronger.
You were talking earlier about Monty. Can you see him ever walking away from the
no
game at all?
Yeah, I don't know if he knows. You're right. I don't know if he knows how to. He just, you know what, and as you talk to him and you converse with him about different things and what you're looking for, just a tremendous insight. But, you know, on top of it, just a great person.
Interior of the offensive line seems like could be some changes there, at least really all three positions this year. I mean, is that a sign of progress moving forward?
I do. I think when you look at our offensive line, the first group, second group, you know, the depth that we have, the competition that we have, it feels to me like that's a very good offensive line group. You know, you look at the interior, you got Linder, you got AJ, you know, the additions that we picked up along with Luke Malenko and Shatley, you know, there's going to be some strong, strong competition there. So I look forward to that part. And you look at the second group that walked on the field, our first preseason game, this is going to be a pretty formidable group there as well. So, and that's hard in the NFL to have the depth like we possibly could have once they develop through OTAs and training camp.
What do you think Linder's best spot is, and what do you think AJ's best spot is?
Well, I think AJ, as we look at, we like him at the guard spot. Now, whether it's left guard or right guard, we'll see how that shakes out. Like with a guy like Brandon Linder, too, he could play guard, and we've seen that he has the ability to be our center. And we look at that as far as the center spot. He could bring us a guy that could play that position for a long period of time for us. And I think for him to be closer to the guard spot, really redirect the whole offense with the protection schemes, that would be right up his alley. So that's a strong consideration for us.
Four centers in 4 years, three injuries like that. How important is it to get some stability there, regardless of who it is?
Yeah, that's what ideally we'd like. We'd like to get some stability there to where him and Blake work well together. And so that's why it's a viable option for us.
Was Dusky just not grayed out well?
No, he did some good things. We liked Wiz. I think, though, that, you know, for the years to come and how we're looking at it, to, you know, to take a look at a guy like Brandon Linder is just, you know, an option for us.
Does it concern you at all, because he's so good at guard, moving a guy off what had been his best spot? Is that a talk?
Sure. I think that whenever you take, you know, you take a look at things and you're trying to find out how do you get your best guys on the field and through free agency, who you can pick up and to have that flexibility. We always talk in terms of players, the more that they can do. And for him, even we went back and saw a preseason game when he came in as a rookie where he played center and just saw the skill set and the traits that we really like.
What does Allen Robinson need to find to this year?
Well, I mean, his skill set, you know, ability to go up and get the ball, his ball skills are great. But I think, you know, just the consistency, play in and play out. You know, we're always going to say as a blocker, right, be more physical at the point of attack. But I think just keep progressing. You know, he is extremely competitive. He's a guy that is in our building all the time. You know, he's down there in the weight room. And, you know, I think he'll progress. And I think in talking to a lot of coaches around the league, too, just how he's progressed, he's really caught the eye of many coaches that have, you know, gone up against him and his skill set.
About those guys, or but as you get him here and then you see the work ethic, was there ever a concern that he was going to be a guy that maybe after a season like this didn't work as hard as he had?
Yeah, never a concern. It shocked me if he wasn't that guy. Yeah, I mean, tremendous, I mean, competitor. I mean, you look at his skill set when he came out. He had full rights to play basketball in college, football in college. I mean, he'll compete at anything. And so, no, not surprising at all. After the season, he would attack it the way he has.
What is it about Prince Mukamara that sort of attracted you guys?
Well, I think when you look at him, you're saying, oh, he's not 6'2 or 6'3 or 6'1 or, you know, doesn't have the height that you talk so much about, but he's got the length. And I think his ability to play physical at the line of scrimmage was something that caught our attention. I think he is highly competitive. His big thing is just, you know, to stay healthy. And, you know, I think he'll come back and he'll be fine with that. You know, he's coming into it and his mindset when he came in and visited with me as a head coach was great. Just that, give me a chance. And, you know, he won't look back. So I think that's what we're excited about him.
How much does that concern you that he plays that physical style, but he's not the biggest guy, you know?
Well, I think he understands
that. Contribute to the injury maybe, and how do you sort of...
Yeah, I mean, but some of these, you know, he'll just continue to get stronger in the weight room and flexibility and things like that. So those are things that he needs to work on, but I don't think you're going to take that style away from him. You know, that's what's made him kind of who he is.
Prince said you beat him in basketball during his visit. Is that true?
I also told him I wouldn't comment on it.
He said you knew the rims.
Yeah. That could be. That could be.
Coach, what do you like about Chris Ivory, and sort of how do you envision your backfield sort of shaking up in terms of touches?
Well, you know, as far as touches, you know, we feel like we've got a couple backs back there with TJ, a guy like Denard, you know, just different skill sets. So with Chris, just his violent nature, you know, I think he runs with a mentality and that change up. Not that TJ doesn't have that, but they have different styles. And I think as a defensive-minded head coach, you know, you always look at the running back and the different styles you're facing, and you always have to be aware of who's in the game. And I think that he brings that to us.
Is there one that you maybe envision as a starter now, or you let that kind of...
We just let it see how it plays out. Yeah, we love that part of it, the competition.
And what did TJ show you as a rookie last year that, you know, maybe you could build on?
Well, I think two things. One, we felt like he had great instincts, and he showed us that. And then the ability to be a third-down back or a three-down back. We didn't know for sure how he would be able to handle that when he came in, and he did a great job.
I know, obviously, you'd like to have the depth like talk about, but this maybe stunt his growth a little bit, bringing in something like Chris?
I think it helps him. We look at it as a way to help him just for his health. And, you know, it's a long season to have, you know, two or three backs that you can count on. You know, that would be an advantage for our team.